Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
Me, and let us pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity and the blessing of sitting under your feet to hear your word. We ask, Lord, that you give us of your Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us into all truth. Spirit of the living God, we welcome you. Have your way. Take control in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands together for the Lord and sit on top of your enemy. Wonderful. Well, this afternoon, we are continuing a series of messages that our Father started last Sunday for our first Sunday of the month for our seeing and hearing campaign. We heard our Father preach on a very powerful message, and we are continuing in that series for these few weeks. And we are talking about those who accuse you. Those who accuse you. Amen. Those who accuse you. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 10. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 10. It says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Hallelujah. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Hallelujah. We are talking about the accuser, and the devil is the one that we call the accuser of the brethren. The devil. Hallelujah. I am sure now you are all thinking of the devil and how he looks. But he is actually the accuser in the midst of the brethren. Hallelujah. The accuser in the midst of the brethren, that is the devil. Amen. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yes. And that is how he operates, and it makes him quite effective when he operates in the midst of the brethren. When the devil operates in the midst of the brethren, it is very effective. Hallelujah. In other words, accusation is effective when it's coming from your own people, when it's coming from those who know you and very close to you. That is when it is effective. Hallelujah. So the accuser within the group is the one most daunting enemy. The accuser within any group, the accuser in the family, the accuser in a town, the accuser in the church, the accuser at the workplace is the one most daunting enemy that you can ever imagine. Hallelujah. So we have different kinds of problems, as you know. We have different kinds of problems in the church, but one of the highest problems that we have or we will ever encounter is when one of us becomes an accuser. When one of us becomes an accuser, it is a very dangerous enemy that has risen amongst us. Hallelujah. Does somebody understand what I'm sharing with you? And Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Accusation is Satan's most dangerous, most strategic, most powerful way of dealing with an unconquerable enemy or situation that is unconquerable. Amen. When Satan assesses a situation where he cannot conquer, the strategic problem, the most powerful weapon that he uses is accusation. Amen. It's accusation. It works in heaven. Accusation. It's a dangerous weapon. Hallelujah. Satan operates in different ways. Satan may attack us as a liar. He can attack you as a liar. He can attack as a tempter to tempt you to sin. He can attack you as a deceiver. He's very good at that. That is how he attacked Adam and Eve. He will attack you as a deceiver. He can attack you as a murderer. However, if he comes as an accuser, then it means he has taken the attack to the highest possible height. It means that he is planning to doom you. Accusation is a very dangerous thing. It sounds very benign, but very dangerous. Are you listening to me? You don't like the message? Accusation is a very dangerous weapon. And we see different levels of satanic agenda and strategies being played in the life of our Lord Jesus, even. So we saw that first the devil came as a tempter, and Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and nights. The devil tempted him. Hallelujah. Then, as a deceiver, he made several attempts to deceive Jesus in the wilderness. Hallelujah. So throughout Jesus' ministry, he was attacked by the devil, even in the form of a murderer. Do you see? Are you listening to me? He attacked our Lord as a tempter. He attacked him as a deceiver. He attacked him as a murderer. The Bible says in John 8 and verse 44, it says, he was a murderer from the beginning. Satan is a murderer from the beginning. He kills. Luke 4 and verse 29 to 30, it says, and they got up and drove him out of the city. This is about Jesus. It says, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built. You see? And he says, what was their goal? He says, that they might cast him down headlong. The New Living, the NASB, the New American Standard, it says, and they got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw him down the cliff. I was there by the grace of God in this place, in Israel. And you look at the cliff, man. And that was their plan. I mean, by the grace of God, they have built a fence now. So if you go, you can fall inside. But there was nothing there. There was no fence. And their plan, so they were following him. And as they were following him, if he's going this way, then the crowd will, like, direct him. And then they direct, and they drove him to the edge of the cliff. And their plan was to push him like this. I mean, only the devil can make people do that. He says that they would throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went his way because it wasn't his time. So he came to him as a murderer. He wanted to kill him. He wanted to finish him. If they had pushed him, it would have finished him. If you look at the cliff, they are all rocks in a button. And it's a cliff like that. You know what is a cliff? Cliffhanger. So they were going to push him. A cliff is at the edge of a mountain. And then you come headlong. They say headlong. That means they will lift him up and his head will come down like this. And then your head will hit the rock and you are finished. Because when you are flying down like that, you can't control. You can't now dive and turn your legs. Another time, there was another attempted murder on the Sea of Galilee. In Luke chapter 8, verse 23, it says, "But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of the wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him, and awoke him, saying, 'Master, master, we perish.' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm." So once again, the devil wanted to drown Jesus. The Bible says he rebuked the wind. That means that the wind that came with the storm that was turning the boat, it wasn't from God. If it was from God, Jesus will not rebuke God. Are you listening to me? But he rebuked the wind. And the Bible says it was calm. Hallelujah. So the devil wanted to destroy him. He found a way to bring him down, bring his ministry down. He tempted him even before he would begin anything. He deceived him. He lied to him. And then he attempted to kill him physically, either over the cliff or drown you in the Sea of Galilee. But these attempts did not win. So now he came with a final blow. And it was the blow of the weapon of accusation. When the enemy wants to take the battle high, it comes with accusation. He comes to accuse. Hallelujah. So finally, Satan unleashed his deadliest weapon against the Lord. For a whole week before the Passover, until he was crucified, the whole week, Jesus endured the deadly weapons of accusation. The whole week. Constantly accusing him. Accusing him. Hallelujah. The enemy raised up people to accuse him. And in the last 24 hours of his life, he was also accused in the palace of the high priest. They brought him to the palace of the high priest to accuse him. And then they took him to Pilate's court there to accuse him also. And then he took him to Herod's palace. More accusation. Hallelujah. Accusation is the most powerful weapon of the enemy. Hallelujah. So it was this weapon which ultimately brought an end to the ministry and the life of Jesus Christ. That is why accusation is such a deadly thing. That is why when accusation comes in the midst of any group, it is a means to destroy the group. When accusation rises up in any marriage, it is ready to destroy the marriage. When accusation comes in friendship, the friendship is coming down. It's a dangerous weapon, hallelujah, that the enemy uses to destroy us. Hallelujah. That is why we need to deal with the accusers who are used by the devil to intimidate and torment us. Amen. Do we need to deal with the accusers? Yes. Now, what is an accusation? What is an accusation? How many of you want to know? What is an accusation? Accusation is a charge or allegation made against someone. It's a charge or an allegation that is made against someone. Accusation puts blame and points finger at a person. It points finger at a person. No one likes that. No one likes to be accused. Even accusers don't like to be accused. No one likes to be accused. An accusation is a statement saying that you think someone is guilty of wrongdoing, especially of committing a crime. It's that statement. It's a statement that someone makes. That person thinks that you have done something wrong. Are you listening? That you have committed a certain crime. And these statements, which are directed at a person, constantly minister and a withering and a weakening guilt. When you are accused, what it does is it withers you. You know, it dries you. It makes you look dry. It weakens you. When you are accused, you are done. It breaks your strength. It destroys efforts. When you are accused, when you are doing something and people start accusing you, it's a very strong weapon of discouragement. Oh, am I preaching to someone? It has the ability to dry you from the inside out. It takes all your energy. It has a way to take away your sleep. Accusation. It takes away your joy. You see someone who is bubbly and happy doing things, and when you hear of an accusation, everything is down. Everything is down. A chorister who is a powerful singer, when you are accused, one song, they accuse you. That's all for the rest of your singing. You know, Bishop was sharing that a pastor who was ministering and in anointing service and ministering and praying for people, and when he went home, his wife called him and said, Why was it that when you were praying for this particular fair lady, you prayed for so long? That you stayed there too long. Why? There must be something. That's the end of your ministry. That's the end of your ministry. So an anointed man of God praying for the people, and then the next time he's praying again, and then he sees the lady in the... So accusation has changed the ministration. And then he says, receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. He's done. Instead of letting the Spirit lead you. You see? So the Holy Spirit, even the accusation can make the power of the Holy Spirit not felt. Accusation is a very dangerous weapon. Very dangerous weapon. Amen. Sometimes accusation can come in a family, in a couple, the life of a couple. Sometimes the Lord brings someone into the lives of the couple for the person to help the couple. Sometimes even give direction. Are you listening? And then one of the couple will make a comment. One of the couple will make a comment. I think she likes you. The way She was looking. And that's it. So then it cuts off. It cuts off the relationship. Are you listening? It destroys relationship. Accusation. It destroys relationship. So only very strong-hearted people can live with persistent accusation for a long time. You have to be very strong-hearted. Like you have the heart of a stone. But if you have the heart of flesh, you cannot live with accusation. There was a young lady who was going to school and studying to become some useful person and be helpful to the family. So she has to have study group and study with others. The husband said, there are men in the group. And all you are doing is just going around with a man. That was the end of the young woman's school. That was the end. For what she could have become. Accusation. Accusation. Now, even though accusations come out of human mouths, it is men that say it. They are words that men say. They are anointed by the accuser of the brethren himself. The words that come from the mouth of an accuser may look ordinary, but they are anointed by the accuser himself, the accuser of the brethren. So it has power. Are you listening to me? It has power to destroy. Amen. Satan is the accuser in the midst of the brethren. Satan is the accuser in the midst of the brethren. So whenever you see an accuser, it is Satan himself that has entered the person. It is Satan himself. Amen. It doesn't matter what excuse you will use. It doesn't matter what reason you will have. The moment you accuse one of us, the moment you use accusation, you have allowed Satan to enter you. It doesn't matter what the reason is behind it. Are you listening? Satan also had a reason. He had a reason why he accused. He had a reason. He had a reason. He wanted to be like God. That was his reason. He was not happy that God has made man to have such power and dominion. He had reason. So it doesn't matter what reason you have. If you begin to accuse, Satan himself has entered you. Amen. So who are the people commonly employed as accusers? Who wants to know? Who wants to know the kind of person, how they look like? You want to know how an accuser looks like? Because that is what I want to describe to you. I don't think people, let's just close. Let me skip this point. Because I see that you are not interested in knowing. Can I have two people who are just interested? Who want to know how an accuser looks like? Because it's going to help you. Once you know how the accuser looks like, how they look like. So who are the people commonly employed as accusers? Turn to Psalm 41 and verse 9. Psalm 41 and verse 9. It says, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Hallelujah. So Satan commonly employs people who fall in the category of familiar friends. Familiar friends. Now, who are familiar friends? Familiar friends are familiar people. Familiar people of your life, such as friends, husbands, wives, sons, daughters, beloveds, associate pastors, church members. I said church members. Journalists, classmates, and so on. Choristers, shepherds, instrumentalists, familiar people, technical team. They say no, technical team. They say for us, that's why we are in a shield. We are separated from the group. Amen. Familiar people in your life. So for accusation to have an impact, they must be channeled through someone that is close to you. Someone that is close. Someone that you have trusted. He says, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted. For accusation to work, it has to be someone that is close to you, someone that you can trust. Satan will not use anyone who is an enemy to be an accuser. Are you listening? Satan will not use an outsider to be an accuser because you will always be on the defense. And it does not work. Everyone will know that there's a hidden agenda or there is a reason for the accusation. But when the person is within, when the person is a familiar friend, when the person is a trusted person, someone that we have all eaten bread with, we have broken bread with, someone who has sat and said, preach on, what a powerful message. You are preaching to me. Someone who has come and said, pray for me. I need this. I need your hand to be laid on me. I need prayers. I trust in your ministry. I trust in your prayers. Pray for me for this important event. Someone like that is a person who can rise up to accuse you. Someone like that. Someone who has shared his or her own secrets with you and knows that he can trust you with this secret. That is a person who can rise up to accuse you and is effective. It works. Yes. Hallelujah. That is the kind of person who can accuse you. That is the kind of person that the enemy uses. That is the kind of person whose accusation is effective. It's effective. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? You see, I am preaching to all of you. It's not for any other person but you. It's not for any other person because the enemy uses people like you. You. That is what the enemy uses. Someone who is sitting here right now is the one who will become an accuser. Are you listening to me? Someone who would have received all of his life or her life. Someone who you would have helped. And someone who has trusted you. Are you listening? The enemy will not use the enemy. Satan will not use your enemy to accuse you. Because your enemy by default will accuse you. Are you listening? And it's not effective. That is why he's called the accuser of the brethren. He is in the midst of the brethren. Amen. So why not simply brush off accusations? Why? Why don't we just, when we hear, we just ignore it? Brush it off and move on and go to sleep. Amen. Accusations are statements that may or may not be true. Are you listening?
They may or may not be true. They may say, oh, he's been sleeping with all the girls in the church. They may or may not be true. So if it is not true, why not just ignore it and go to bed? Why not ignore it? They may accuse you and say, oh, he's a liar. Oh, he borrows from people and he doesn't pay. You see, perhaps you have never borrowed. Maybe you borrowed once. That's it. You see, maybe one time. But the accuser goes around and says, he goes around borrowing and doesn't pay. You see, why don't we just ignore the accusation, just brush it off and go to bed? If they are not true, then we can just ignore it. But it is not as easy as that. It is not as easy as that. Accusations are words that are anointed from hell. They are words that are anointed from hell. Accusations. They are spiritual things. Accusations are spiritual things. They are not benign. They are not benign. We cannot ignore it. The moment someone is accused, certain things are registered in people's hearts and minds. People start looking at you differently. I'm telling you. You see, you may not understand, but I'm praying by the grace of God that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the power of accusation. You may be in a place where you are blessed and you are happy. One accusation, it changes your heart. It turns your heart. Just one thing. It has. There are words that are anointed from hell. And its intent is to remove good relationship, destroy a group, destroy your heart, destroy your blessings, take you away. Amen. Sometimes there are some people who have heard certain accusations and they are just in a place. Their hearts are not there anymore. They are here, but their hearts are not here anymore because of certain accusations that they have heard. I'm preaching a good word. Help me. I'm preaching. They are here. You come for every meeting, even dawn prayer meeting. You may be the first one. Or you'll be leading us. You'll be leading us. Are you listening to me? But your heart is not here. And it's because of accusation. Accusation, they are not benign things. They are not benign. They take your blessing away. Amen. They take your blessing away. When the accusation comes, you know, now you see the enemy is such a wicked, wicked creature. You know, when you hear of accusation, you suddenly see patterns. Do you understand? You see patterns. You see pattern of its reflection. And then you something that you have enjoyed for years. All of a sudden, you see it, you say, this is the thing. Oh, that's one of his things. When he says this is what he means. Accusation, it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. There are words that are anointed from hell to have such effect on your heart. Amen. You are in a marriage, but your heart is not there. Your heart is not there. You are there because of the children. Your heart is not there because of certain accusations. Accusations are tiny arrows loaded with satanic poison. Not big ones. Thank you, brother, for that strength. Not big arrows. They are tiny arrows. Tiny arrows. You know, there are certain injections that they give in the hospital. The nurses, they give in the hospital. You know, the needle is very tiny. Do you understand? And the syringe is very small. But when they give that, it can make your sugar go down. Small amounts like this. It can make your sugar... Am I saying something that is not true? It can make your sugar go down like this, and then you pass out, and then you die. Small like that. That is how accusations are. You see? There's another medicine, you know, they give it to you small like this. Small like this. You know, very small. And small needle. Even the nurses, they are afraid of it. They say, we don't give this. You give it. You see? They say, no. They are able to draw it from the bottle into the syringe, but they are afraid to give it to the person. They say, here. They bring it and say, here, you give it. Because that medicine, if you give to a person, suddenly the person stops moving. The person stops breathing. You are paralyzed. You die. Accusation, they are tiny arrows, tiny syringes, tiny needles, but they are loaded with satanic poison. It can paralyze your ministry. It can paralyze your marriage. It can paralyze your project that you are planning. You are planning this big project. You are planning this big business. Small accusation, tiny, tiny syringe like that. When they go like this, they throw it like that. It paralyzes you. You will never be the same again. So they are tiny arrows loaded with satanic poison. As soon as the poison enters your blood, it spreads through your whole being and it attacks your heart. And that's it. You are finished. That's it. You are finished. Someone that you trust. You have serious issue, and you know that this person can counsel you. This person has given you wise counseling for a long time, but suddenly you cannot bring it. I'm afraid of her. I'm afraid of him. I can't trust him. I can't trust her because of accusation. It turns your heart away. Tiny arrows loaded with satanic poison. It's like some fast-spreading natural poison. You are greatly affected by a seemingly little dart or an arrow. Very small like that, but you are greatly affected. Accusation has brought down mighty giants. It has brought down kings. It has brought down presidents. Accusation. They will sit you down and accuse you and accuse you and it will bring you down. Accusation. You see, when President Clinton, the thing that President Clinton, I don't know how many of you were around when President Clinton was on. The thing that he did, almost all of them have done that before. Everyone had done that before. But for him, it started with accusation. The same thing that you have done, we have done it too. But we will accuse you. It will finish you. It will finish your presidency. It will finish you. It will finish your honor. It will finish everything that you have done. Great works that you have done to wipe them out. The governor, what's his name? Cuomo. The same thing. Accusation. If they accuse you, you are finished. You are finished. And the same thing, they have all done the same thing. Did you all know that Cuomo had done something like that? When Clinton issue was... They are all done the same thing. Are you listening? Yeah. But when fingers are being pointed to you, you are done with. It has brought mighty giants of God
totally ruffled by unfounded accusations, which look insignificant to the bystander. It looks very insignificant. Such is the power of accusation. It is a puzzling weapon, and its effects are mysterious. Its effects are mysterious. Truly, accusations are spiritual weapons indeed. They are spiritual weapons. So, accusation has that power to destroy a church. It can destroy a church. It can scatter a church. Hallelujah. Isaiah 58 and verse 8. Isaiah 58 and verse 8. It says, listen to this. It says, then your light will break out like the dawn. Wow. Your light will break out like a dawn. And your recovery will speedily spring forth. Look at this powerful blessing. It says, your light will break out like the dawn. And your recovery will speedily bring forth. And your righteousness will go before you. How is all of this going to happen? Do you want to know? How that your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily bring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. It says, the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. That means the glory of God will be behind you, trailing behind you. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and you will say, here I am. How is all that going to happen? How is it going to happen? He says, if you remove the yoke from your midst. What is the yoke? Do you want to know what the yoke is?
Yes.
He said, these blessings will come into your life if you remove the yoke from your midst. That is why we don't play with accusers. That is why we don't entertain accusation. That is why it should be thwarted. It should not be entertained. Because he says, all of these blessings will come to you if you remove the yoke from your midst, from within you. And who is the yoke? What is the yoke? It says, if you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. If you remove it, the pointing of the finger. That is another name for accusation. The pointing of the finger. You did it. He did that. He's the one. The Bible says, if we remove the accuser from our midst, all of these blessings are released. All of these blessings are released. Accusations are called the pointing of the finger. Such is the evil released by the pointing of the finger that the light in your life and ministry will actually grow dim if it is there. If accusation is there, it makes the opposite of that scripture, the first part, that your light will be dim. People who are accused, they walk as though there's no light in them. There's no light in you. Amen. There's no light in you. You cannot give comment. You give comment to someone, you are in trouble. You see a nice thing, you can't even look.
Say that again. A nice thing, you can't look.
You can't look. Because of accusation. Are you listening? Yeah. You are driving, you have to keep your head straight. Because of accusation. Is somebody preaching? You don't like the message? We are preaching a good message. Amen. The Bible says you break forth like the dawn and there will be recovery if you put away the pointing of the finger. Hallelujah. Churches cannot prosper once a pointing finger person is in our midst and is flourishing. Churches cannot prosper. We can't move on. We cannot prosper. We cannot be happy. Amen. We cannot be happy. Many years ago, in a stage of the church, there was a lady that was such an accuser. Hey! You see,
You know, when I was reading this and I realized that accusation, they are really statements or words that are anointed from hell. Because she was sitting in the back. You see? And everyone was, all the ladies were afraid to do something. They were all afraid to do something. Because if you're doing something, she will accuse you. You know? And nobody was happy. Wow. And the person also doesn't do anything. So by the grace of God, God had a way to prune his church. And the person left the church. Wow, suddenly there was such joy in the church. People were so happy. People were doing things. People that I thought they were quiet, they don't like to be bothered, suddenly they are happy, they want to do things, they are doing things, moving up and down. Then I understood the power of the accusation. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. That is why we have to deal with it. Are you listening? Because as a spirit, whenever it leaves, it anoints another one to take over. Oh, yes. It anoints another one to take over. Says much of the darkness in the body of Christ is as a result of the incessant accusation made by brother against brother, sister against sister, husband against wife, wife against husband, and so on and so forth. This is what brings darkness in our lives and in our midst. Darkness. So why must we be concerned about the accuser and deal with him? Why? Because number one, it is the devil himself. It is the devil. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived when someone is accusing the pastor to you or accusing a church member to you. It is the devil you are looking at. No other person. It's the devil. I'm telling you, it is no other person but the devil. So it may be, you see, that is why I listed the people that the devil uses. It may be your friend. It may be your wife, your husband, your classmate. It may be we go way back before the church, that kind of statement. Are you listening? Yeah. It may be that. But I am telling you that it is the devil. If there is accusation, it's the devil. It's the devil himself. But what you have to understand is that he has to enter into someone. He has to enter into someone. So we are teaching you to know and understand that when you hear this, this is your friend, suddenly is now a devil. You have to understand that. That yes, he has been your friend for many years, but suddenly, this is a devil. Are you listening? And the person doesn't look like the devil. The person doesn't look like the devil. You see, that is why it's effective. When Satan entered into Judas, Judas was still sitting with them. I hope you understand what I'm sharing with you. I said, when Satan entered into Judas, Judas was still sitting with them. He was eating with them. They were all together. He didn't look like seven horns on his head because the devil has entered onto him. Are you listening? And so when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, they were looking at each other. Who could that be? Who amongst us? None of us looks like the devil. None of us looks like a deceiver. None of us looks like an accuser. And that is why it's effective. That is why it works. That is why it's powerful. Nobody would have suspected that Judas, the one who had been trusted with our money bag, will be the one who betrayed the master. And so you can be looking at a very nice sister, very nice brother that you have fellowship with for a long time, but the devil has entered into it.
And the second reason why we have to deal with accusers is that there are great benefits and blessings in dealing with the accuser, to remove the accuser from the midst of the brethren. To remove the accuser from the midst of the brethren. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 again. It says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now," say now. Say now is come. "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Day and night. This scripture is showing us four clear blessings of dealing with the accusers. That number one, salvation is the first benefit of silencing accusers in our midst. When we are silenced the accuser, the Bible says salvation, finally salvation has come. Two, it says strength is the next important benefit for eliminating accusers from our fellowship. When we eliminate accusers from our fellowship, strength comes. You see that suddenly people have strength, they want to do things. People who look weak, husbands who look weak, because accusation is gone. Sometimes a friend comes in the midst of a couple and start accusing. The way your husband has been coming home late. What is this meeting? Is their job, is it the only one, at the job, is it the only one that's supposed to have late meetings? Look, when men start having late meetings, you have to be careful. The way this pastor has been going on visitation. Every time visitation. Why? And suddenly, strength is gone. The pastor doesn't want to go on visitation anymore. Strength is gone. Amen. Strength is gone. You see, when you are accused, no matter who you are, no matter how enthusiastic you are, no matter how much you want to do it, once you are accused, strength is gone. You lose strength. Oh, why is he always want to lead prayers? Because he has no job. That's what. You see, and suddenly you have such love for God and you want to lead prayers. You want to do this. Suddenly, is that what they think? Is that why they think I always want to lead prayers? Okay, that's it. No more. Let them take their prayers. She has no job. That's why. She's home. That's why. Suddenly, it has just broken you. Why? They say church starts at 2. 12 o'clock, she's here. Why? Oh, she's single. You know, when she gets married, she'll understand. She has no child. That's why. She has no child. Every time we're having a meeting, we are going here. We're doing this. She has no responsibility. That's why. And suddenly, it breaks you. Look, accusation, eh? You see, and you are someone who is energetic. You want to do things. You are fired to do things. Listen, you are anointed by the Holy Spirit to do things, but with accusation. Jesus Christ was anointed. Jesus Christ was powerful. He was anointed to command demons to fly and to leave. But through accusation, he was on the cross. Through accusation. It's a dangerous thing. Young ones, if you see anyone who is accusing another person to you, someone that you like, someone that you relate well with, someone that you have had a good relationship with, if another person is accusing that person to you, that's a devil. Move away from that person. Listen. You know people. You know who has related with you. You know who has accompanied with you. You know who has prayed with you. You know who has cried with you. You know who has been there for you. So when someone rises up and the person starts accusing that person, say that this is the devil. You are taking something good from me. You should be able to identify the devil in people. Don't take it. Don't take it as my friend is revealing something to me. It's the devil. It's the devil. And that is why we should not entertain accusers. We should not entertain accusers. Is somebody understand what I'm sharing with you? Accusation, it has a way to paralyze you. It will paralyze relationship. It will paralyze relationship. Someone who has given you good counseling. You know that there is not once that you have come to this person and not left with some wise counseling. But because of accusation, it shuts you. It cuts you off. It cuts you off. And I see it all the time. All the time. You go in and come in. This person has been counseling you. And you know, you know, you know. You see, that is why you have to know a person. Paul said, you have known my manner of life. You have known my manner of life. What evil would a person do? But accusation, it turns a person to be a demon. Charlie, let's close the service and amen. Let's continue the message and let's close. It says strength has come. And then it said the kingdom of our God will come when the accuser of the brethren. You see, that is why accusation is not a benign thing. Even the kingdom of God is suspended. But when the accuser is cast down, the Bible says the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God. Accusation is a dangerous thing. Accusation is someone who looks very nice to you, suddenly the person looks like a monster to you. You know, and you look at the person's face, and then something is in the back of your head.
I know you. You see, you are saying in your head, I know you. You can't deceive me anymore.
You see, suddenly, the devil, he's wicked, though. He's wicked. He's very subtle. He's very subtle. And accusation, you see, when you hear it, it's just like words. It's so benign. And then you're wondering, but why are they making so much hassle about this? Why? He just said this. If it's not true, let's leave it alone. It's not just leave it alone. It's not just leave it alone. It's anointed words from hell that is about to destroy us. That's why we deal with accusations. Amen. And finally, he said the power of Christ is released when the accuser is dealt with. See, so all these benefits are clearly outlined in the scripture as being things that happen when the accuser is silenced. So if you allow an accuser, an associate minister, to point fingers at us, if we allow wives to point fingers at husbands, if we allow husbands to point fingers at wives, if we allow friends to point fingers at each other, it reduces the power of God amongst us. It reduces our strength. It reduces our might. It reduces what we can do. Your brother wants to buy a nice car to drive. And then the pointing finger, you know, he has not done this and he has bought a car. You know, leave the brother to enjoy his car. There are only three of them. Why they need this big car? For what? Leave the brother. Have you sat in that car before? If you know how it feels when you are sitting in the car and the car is going the way it is, I mean, it's his and then it's staying like that. You see? And you say, there are only three of them. Why didn't they buy a Nissan Sentra? Why they bought a big car like that? You see? And then the brother can bring his nice car. The brother, let's take your Tico. Let's take your Tico to church. I don't want any trouble. May the Lord release us and release us and break away accusers from our midst. That we will live and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. For strength has come. For salvation has come. The kingdom of our God has come. The power of his Christ has come. Because the accuser of the brethren is cast down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Clap your hands together for the Lord. And rise your feet. And just do this and throw the accuser out. We cast you out through the windows. We will enjoy what the Lord has blessed us with. We will enjoy our marriages. We will enjoy our friendship. We will enjoy our pastors. We will enjoy our church members. We will enjoy the choristers. We will enjoy the singers that God has blessed us with. We love you any way that you sing. We will clap for you. We will clap for you. But you too, try and practice. Let us bow our heads. Father, we are grateful. We are thankful. We bless you, Lord. We give you thanks. We honor you. We give you glory. What a God we serve. Thank you, Lord, for releasing us and taking away from the midst of us, the accuser. We are released today, Lord. We are set free. He who the enemy has targeted, even to become an accuser, today, Lord, we thank you for revealing to us how the enemy can use us to become accusers. We bless you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. With all eyes closed and every head bowed, if you are here this afternoon, you are not born again, you want to give your life to Christ, lift up your hands, your right hand, and I'll pray with you. You want to give your life to Jesus. You are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. If it is your prayer, this is what you want to do. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Lift up your right hand high up so I can see it, and I'll pray with you. Anyone here like that? Oh, I see your hand. I see your hand. Is there anyone else? You want to give your life to Christ? You want to give your life to Christ? Anyone else? Anyone else? I see your hand. If you have lifted up your hand, I want you to come forward here. I want to just pray with you. Come forward here. Join me. Join me. Come forward. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you.
All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
I want you to say this prayer with me. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I am a sinner. But today, I believe you are Christ, the Son of God. You died for my sins. You shed your blood for me. Please forgive me of my sins. Please wash me with your blood. I receive you as my Lord, as my Master, and as my Savior. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for your mighty hand that has come upon your daughters. I pray, Lord, for a covering. Preserve these lives, protect them. Deliver them, Lord, from every claw of the enemy. And let them go and serve you the rest of their days. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 821 Burke Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.